in great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Verse 20 says, a rich man's house, there are many different kind of vessels and made of many different kind of material. If we look into the church, especially the church in USA, 1980s is quite different from nowadays. About 30 years ago, we have only MRP Church, and then on branched out to Gardenwood Church. At that time, the whole United States probably have only less than 300 members. But right now, our church in the United States have around 3,000 members. It's about 10 times more members than 1980. So we can see in the church, we have many members. It's just like a rich man's house. We have many different kinds of vessels. If we have been attending many kind of seminars, workshops, you always get a souvenir for what? Money. Cups. At least in my home, I have more than a dozen cups. So we know that in the church, if every one of us become a vessel, then you see a church with a lot of workers are ready to serve God. So in the end of the NYTS, one of the resolutions is I want to be a vessel, a noble vessel, a vessel which God wants to use. And this should be a very important resolution. If we have been trained here and we climb up to the mountain to elevate our spirituality and we go back to noble church, we can be used by God. And the ministry of the local church will be greatly helped. But if we cultivate ourselves without a determination to serve God, it seems we go to the local church. To the local church, it makes no difference. Right? So we have to determine to be a noble vessel. Then what should we do then? If we come back to the verse 20, some for honor and some for dishonor. The vessel, just like a hymn we sing, the vessel actually is created. So God is a creator, is a potter, and we are the vessel. God created every one of us different. Since we are created by God, so God created us with a purpose. So what should we do in the church? It's very important we have to think about and ask God to let us understand the purpose that he created in the church. Just like a post-conversion, he asked two questions. The first question is, who are you? He tried to know God more, even though he was very jealous. But his jealous is only in Judaism. He failed to understand Jesus Christ. So the more we understand God, the more we have been motivated to serve Him. The book of Ezekiel, before God used Ezekiel, God revealed a vision to him. And Ezekiel was able to see the glory of God. And after he saw the glory of God, and God entrusted him a very important, difficult task to confront the Israelites for their stubbornness of their faith. But eventually, Ezekiel just accepted it and accomplished the task. You know, in the church, we serve not because we want somebody to commend us. We serve not because we want somebody to remember us. We serve not because we want to have a feeling of self-achievement. We serve because it is a response to God Himself. It is a response to God's calling. If we really understand God is so great, God is so glorious, and then you will find out serving God itself is a privilege. It's an opportunity and it's a blessing. Just like nowadays, if somebody works for Google and you talk with a friend, you feel very honored, right? You work for the best company with the best benefit. A very stable and growing company. But this is a worldly company. But you are able to serve God. Spiritually speaking, we are very, very blessed by God. The Almighty God, the glorious God, the God served by countless of angels, the God who is so powerful. In the book of Ezekiel, when the Zarephath shouting, "Holy, holy," the whole temple was shaken with the power of God, filled with the glory of God. And that Almighty God today want me to serve Him. That is a tremendous glory. So, everyone have to determine to serve Him and ask Him, what should I do? God created us with a purpose. You know, as what we mentioned, when the church grew, right now we have around 25 churches and house of prayer scattered around all the major cities in the United States. Besides the ministry in the United States, we have to support the ministry in Central and South America. We have no excuse not to fulfill this entrustment, but to prepare for it. So what can we prepare for it? You are getting trained here. It's a preparation to fulfill God's entrustment. As you know that we are recruiting 2 full-time ministers. Now, within the 10 years, probably we need to another 4 to 5 full-time ministers because some of them are going to retire. And where comes the full-time minister? It comes from among you. So some of you one day will be used by God. Even if you cannot serve full-time minister, you can still serve in the local church to become the pillar of the local church, to become ordained minister of the local church. And it is equally important. So we have to prepare to serve so that the ministry of God can grow. So it's very important. We need to have a kind of self-awareness. If we don't want to serve, who is going to serve? So the vessel is created for purpose. And just like Paul, we have to ask God, what should I do for you? And we hope more people can be touched by the Lord. So far, we still cannot get anyone accepted for the DDP. You know, there are 2 candidates already being accepted by UKGA, and they are waiting to be trained together with the potential candidate of USA, but we cannot find anyone. So please pray for this and also prepare that in the future we can respond to God's calling. And we come back to verse 20. the vessel created from different kind of material, gold, silver, wood, and clay. Very naturally, as a human being, we put in a sequence, right, of the value of the material. Gold is the most valuable, and silver is the least valuable, right? And the cheapest one is a clay, so everywhere is clay. But some for honor and some for dishonor. And which one God really wants to use? The verb 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, and he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good works. So eventually the master, the vessel used by master, is not necessary by gold. It's not necessary that master are not going to use a clay. Gold is very expensive. Clay is very cheap. But eventually, whether the master will be used or not is the one who is clean. So some of us are very, very talented and well educated. It's just like a goal. And some of them probably will feel that we are not outstanding. I'm a very average person, like a wood or a clay. So we feel that if God wants to use, God will not use me. We are not ordinary people. But it's not in that way. In the eyes of God, whether the person is honorable or not, not because of the material, is gold or silver. It is because of the quality of the person, whether the person is clean or not. So, in order to prepare that God can use us, we have to be determined not to be polluted. Today, if you go to the dining area, you see a cup made of gold, right? Shining with a color of gold. Only one cup. And there are many different kinds of cups, but one made of gold. Do you want to try? Use that cup of gold to drink? Yes, everybody wants to try. Right? But after you take the cup, look, oh, inside is dirty. Are you going to use that? Because of gold, no matter what kind of dirty inside, I'm going to use that to drink milk. Are you going to use that? No, we are not going to use that. Right? The same thing with God. No, He's going to use a clean one. Because God is holy. So anyone who wants to be used by God must be the holy one. So we have to determine not to pollute ourselves. Once we pollute ourselves, then we disqualify ourselves from serving God. So it's so important. Anything will pollute us, we have to try our best to avoid it. So, verse 23. 22. Free the youthful lust, but pursue the righteousness, faith, and love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of the pure heart. So, verse 22 talks about two steps. We can prepare ourselves already for the use of God. The first one is free the youthful lust. How do we define lust? We have many different kinds of desires. How do I know this is lust or that is not lust? Right? Can you devise of any kind of machine, right, that detect, oh, this is lust, or this is not lust? The criteria is the truth. Any desire go against the truth, then it is lust. After you grown up, you can get married. The marital relationship, it's not a lust. It is a blessing. So Song of Solomon is talking about the love between the bride and bridegroom. It's so beautiful. It's so touching. Because it is the blessing. But before you get married, if we get involved in this kind of relationship, then it's a lust. About 2 weeks ago, I read an article in New York Times. It talked about hookah. Right now, especially the Ivy League school or more probably in school, they are so busy to prepare themselves to have achievement, their goal. So they don't have time or energy to invest in a relationship, because it takes more energy and time than taking a class or two classes. Then they have physical need. They have like kind of romantic need. What should they do? They only hook up. We can hook up. And especially, name two schools. One is Princeton, another one is UPenn. Now, in the time of weekend or even the weekdays, if they have need, then they just go to some kind of club and social gathering location in the school or from outside, not very far away from the school. And they don't know who is who. They just hook up at a few hours or one night, spend time together to fulfill each other's need. And according to the statistic, right now, not only the male, the female even do this kind of initiative to hook up. And those who graduate from the college, about only 20% never had a sexual experience. All the other 80% they already get involved with that. So this is a big environment. Spiritually, this is a very polluted environment. So we have to be very cautious. If we really want to serve God, we keep ourselves not to be polluted. One is very simple standard. If we cannot get married in the chapel, very possible we will disqualify ourselves serving a full-time minister, or being an ordained minister, or being a church council member. So one day the church wants to use a worker. One of the criteria where do you get married in church? That will be the first question asked. If not, explain that why. So, if we want to serve God, we have to keep ourselves unprovoked. Shine the useful passion. And how to shine the useful passion? The English version and the Chinese version are quite different. The Chinese version is to pursue it together with those who pray with a pure heart. Pray, really. To pursue it with prayer. You know the book of Galatians talk about the lust and the Holy Spirit fighting with each other, actually fighting inside our body to see which one is stronger. If we have no Holy Spirit, the lust will prevail. It's just like what I've been doing most of in the camera. If we have the Holy Spirit, we feel by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will suppress this lust. And one day, if we become a divine nature, partake of divine nature, the divine nature fill upon us, and the divine nature will replace the lust. At that time, there will be no fighting anymore. Why? Because the power of God is so powerful, it already rule out the sinful nature. That we were able to be clean. So how long does it take? So usually we'll ask a question, right? How come one full-time minister say we have to pray for 1 hour, 30 minutes, 15 minutes? Can you show me, is there any biblical foundation? No, we cannot show you anywhere in the Bible say we have to pray for 30 minutes or 1 hour. But Bible did give us a goal. What kind of goal? We have to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And how long does it take to be filled by the Holy Spirit? Now, in this generation, there are so many convenient ways to get access to the media. Every day you read the Facebook, you read the newspaper, you read the magazine, you read the YouTube, right? Video. In this kind of situation, if we want to be filled by the Holy Spirit, we need to make even more extra effort than 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
10 years ago, it's not so easy like nowadays. So we can pray until our heart go deeper into the spiritual depth. When we reach that kind of spiritual depth, gradually you feel that the world already just gone away. Or we climb up to the mountain, you have to spend time, spend the strength, climb up the higher and higher, and you feel that the world is further and further away from us, and we feel we are closer to God. And when you reach that top of the mountain, all of a sudden you see the Lord Jesus Christ is there. And your eyes open, you see, oh, Jesus transfigured. You can see His glory from the teaching of the Bible. God, open your heart, and you will envy that kind of glory. You will enjoy it. So when we come to the church, what do we enjoy? We enjoy God. Yes, we enjoy fellowship. But if we enjoy fellowship itself, it's not good enough. Because today we are going to, tomorrow we are going to disperse, everybody return to your home. Right? Eventually, the best way is to enjoy God. Because God is everywhere. It's your home, in your school, everywhere. There is God. If we were able to establish a relationship, eventually we can enjoy Him. And that kind of faith is so powerful. And that kind of faith is a dynamic faith. So, in order to purify ourselves, we have to set God Himself as a goal of my pursuit. And other people kneel down, keep on praying for praising of God. God, give me a good job, give me this, give me that. But still, there's no experience. Why not you change it at another goal? I want to pursue God Himself. God, please abide in me. Fill up on my heart. If God's really abiding us, fill upon us, then first we have peace. We have no fear, we have no worry, because God already with me. Even though I walk through from the valley of shadow of death, I feel no evil. But David talked about that. Ever since he was young, he was a shepherd. When he saw the lion coming, he did not run away. He fought with the lion and he killed the lion. Why? Because God was with him. So he was not afraid. And then he encountered Goliath, right? So tall. And David was not afraid. Even a lot of people scared about Goliath. But David was not afraid. Because he knew God was with him. God helped him. He was able to kill a lion. So only one stone he killed the Goliath. So the abidance of God is so important. When do you abide by the Lord Jesus Christ? You have no fear. Even though he was chased around by Saul, but his whole heart is trusting God. He knows if God will not hand over him to Saul, Saul had no way to kill him. That was his faith. So because God was abiding with him, eventually he became a king. So we have to pursue the abidance of God. And once God abides in us, if you seek the righteousness of God, all your daily needs will be provided. Daily need in today's term is a job. If you don't have job, we don't have job, we don't have income, then we have difficulty in our life. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness, means seek God Himself. If really God abides in us, then don't worry, God will provide us a job. When you go to the interview, right? There's a boss make final decision. And above the boss, there's another boss. Who's that? That's your father, you know. So actually, eventually, it's your father makes the decision. If we have that kind of faith, we pursue after God, then you don't worry about anything. God will take care of everything. Just like when you are young. You worry nothing, but your father take care of everything. Your parents take care of everything. But when we grow up, we forgot we have a father better than our biological father, and we start to worry about ourselves.
Because a lot of things your biological parent cannot take care of. But we have far better father who can take care of everything. So let us come near to him and try close to him and ask him to abide in us, establish a very intimate relationship, and then every day you will enjoy God first. Then you will enjoy God's blessing. And that will be a wonderful way to live our spiritual life. That's comfortable.